to the next generation, which are our children, and then they would pass it on to their children, and then they would pass it on to their children. If we don't do that, if we don't follow that principle in Scripture, a generation will come up that does not know God. And when you come up not knowing God, there's no fear of God, there's no respect for God, and you just grow up living off of the Adamic nature that you were born with when you were born. It's sinful nature. It goes unchecked. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We're going to go to Psalms chapter 22. But these are real life situations, and these are things that have happened to people. And our heart goes out to those that it has happened to. But nothing is beyond repair in God. Nothing is beyond healing and turning around. Nothing is beyond the power and presence of the great I Am. There's a passage, and I know it'll come back up in my spirit, because it has to deal with the fact of a person feeling like, you know, where was God when all of this was happening to me? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Proverbs chapter 15. It's one of my favorite, another one of my favorite scriptures, in the sense that it just reveals a present truth to all generations. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, this is not a part of the message, but nevertheless, this is a good thing to realize and know. Because there's a devil loose on the scene. And many, if not most people believe that there's a devil out there. Whatever their understanding of him is, the Bible teaches us not to be ignorant of his devices. If we're not ignorant of his devices and we know the ways of God, we'll have an understanding of why things do happen in the earth. Hallelujah. So Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. Are we all there? Is it on the board? Oh, praise God. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. On the count of three, let's read it together. One, two, three. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And so if we ever wonder where God is in some of the most difficult times in our lives, let's just remember his eyes are in every place, beholding evil and good. Nothing escapes him. This is why when Dad tells us that vengeance is mine and I will repay, you can bank on that. Hallelujah. You can bank on it. Because we all go through things in life. Things happen to us that, you know, are unavoidable in the sense that we didn't do anything to welcome it or to initiate it. Somebody else did something to us. But, you know, to think that once they've done it, they've gotten away. You know, we immediately want vengeance. To think that they're getting away is wrong, because God sees it and God will deal with it. He will deal with that person. He will deal with you in the sense of healing you and restoring you. He will deal with that person if they don't repent of the errors of their way. He will judge them, and that judgment will be final, and it will be eternal. There will be no reversal of it. And so nobody gets away with anything, because guys, that's God's eyes. God's eyes are everywhere at all times. How can that be? He's God. That's what makes him God. He sees everything. Nothing is hidden from him. No one can lie. No one can, you know, deceive. No one can trick God, you know, as if, well, I thought you were over here, but you're over here. No, God sees you right where you are. That's not a scare tactic. It's a truth. And so if anything happens to any of you, don't dare think that God is not watching or God hasn't seen it. Why does he permit these things to go on? It's not so much as God permitting it to happen as it is the wickedness of man to do it. There's a devil loose. And when Jesus was suspended on that cross, it wasn't like it was daytime. All of a sudden, you know, midday, you know, darkness comes on the face of the earth. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, you know, it's daylight. But darkness came on the scene. That was not your normal time for the night to come. This was darkness moment, where our Savior was there suspended on the cross, and the devil thought that he had him right where he wanted him. If he had known the plan of God, he never would have crucified him. Pilate would have let him go. He never would have been beaten. He never would have been stripped. He never would have been, you know, spit upon, beard plucked off. None of those things would have happened if Satan knew what God's plans were. The fact that Jesus went through that was not only because of God's judgment and penalty for sin, which it was. It was God's wrath upon Jesus. He took our wrath. The beating in and of itself, crucifixion in and of itself, was the most horrific, most shameful, and embarrassing way of execution that one could go through. It was done publicly so that everyone would be able to walk by and see the crimes revealed, and they would take that and learn from it. But here you have Jesus suspended on that cross, looking down upon humanity, those that were there, mocking him. If, you know, you saved others, you can't save yourself. Let's see if God will save him. Standing there mocking him, and yet he's dying not only for them, but all who are like them, as well as his own followers. So Jesus endured all of this, but it lets us know that we got a Savior who has had to go through stuff that was unjust, unfair. It was painful. It was embarrassing, if you will, on the surface. Nevertheless, it was the will of God. Jesus saying, "My God," or "Elohi," or "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken me? It wasn't that Dad turned his back. It's that Jesus, you got to go through this by yourself. Dad, we've had fellowship since I was born. I've always obeyed you. Everything you told me to do, I did. This part here, it was all in the plan of God. Jesus knew that. But here, Jesus has to walk it alone. And he has endured all of this hostility from sinners. People that he is dying for have punished him, ridiculed him, mocked him, spit upon him. Guess what? Many of us would be in that crowd too. If we weren't for Jesus, we'd be in that crowd too, mocking him. But it was for our sins. As Sister Lauren, Pastor Lauren Posada, praise God, was sharing, wounded for our transgressions. Because see, now after Jesus has died on the cross and been buried, now they got to explain, all of his followers, his disciples, they got to explain what happened with Jesus on that cross. They got to explain what happened with him being buried in the tomb. They got to explain a Savior that they thought was King of Israel, now dead. And they were at a loss for words. We got to explain this thing. But when he came out of that grave, we saved that for Resurrection Sunday. They're like, yeah, praise God. The Lord is alive again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But they still had to explain, why did he have to go through all that he had to go through? And so they had to go back to Isaiah and see what Isaiah was talking about. They had to go back to David in writing the psalm, Psalm 22, and see what it was that David was talking about in order to explain it to a generation so that they would know that this was not just a mistake. This was God's divine purpose in saving all humanity. This is love. And here he is, all alone, if you will. Father was there. Some say, well, God can't look at sin, so he turned his back on sin. Let's go to Psalms 22. When you get there, say amen. Anybody else trying to get there? We all there? Boy, is it warm. We're going to read this psalm. Begin at verse 1. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou has brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Now he transitions from his plea, his questioning of God, where are you? Because people have a tendency to wonder, Lord, where are you when we're going through difficulty? That situation that was depicted over there was a real life situation for one of our members. And unless they divulge the information to you, you would not recognize it because of the handiwork of God in healing and restoring an individual. We may go through things in life. We may walk down a path that others haven't walked on. We may enter in and we may have things happen to us that are deeply painful, hurtful, and stuff that should not happen to anyone. But again, we got to look at our Savior. You know, all that he had to endure. It wasn't just him enduring the wrath of God. It was him identifying even with us, because he was 100% man, yet 100% God. And here he was experiencing what felt or appeared or seemed to be abandonment. But if you think God was far off, he wasn't. If you think the Holy Ghost wasn't around, he was there. If you think that the angels of God weren't at ready, all the Father had to do was say, go. It would have been over. But their attention was there. Jesus had to fulfill all things according to the will of the Father. And he endured everything for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. The Savior didn't have to go through it, but he did. Why did he do it? He did it for us. He did it for us. So the pain and the shame and everything that we experience in life, we can lay it on him. Because he's like this. I've been there too. And the writer in Hebrews says, we have not resisted unto bloodshed in striving against sin. Why do people get away? They don't get away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything. Salvation only comes through Jesus. If you have a problem with that, you'll have a problem with a whole lot of other things. But this is one of those areas that helped me to validate Jesus the only way, Jesus the only truth, Jesus the only life, Jesus the only Savior. Not only do we have Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. We look at what Jesus endured. The Bible says he became poor that we might become rich. He emptied himself, of all godly privileges, and came down here in the form of humanity. Lived here for 33 and a half years. 100% man, 100% God. Endured everything. He had to endure the fact that his family didn't believe in him. There were times when he would have to correct even his own family because he was about the Father's business. There was a time where family separation came in. There was a time where he had to rebuke even his closest disciples because of their unbelief. There was a time where he had to be alone. He took the 12 with him, or the 11, I should say, and then he told 8 of them, you guys stay here. You three come with me. Took them a little bit closer. Then he said, you three stay here. I'm going over here. He had to go alone. He had to go this alone. Were the disciples in vicinity? Yes, they were. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, according to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. Beholding the evil and the good. So Dad didn't turn his back on him. And the Bible says, He saw, it's in the New Living Translation, he saw him. So he saw him in the pain, he saw him in the misery. But you got to do this. I can't intervene, I can't interfere, because this is the way it's got to go. It's the only way to save humanity. It's the only way to bring healing, to bring salvation. It's the only way to bring deliverance. Now, mind you, God did healings, miracles, signs, and wonders throughout scriptures, fast forward even to the day, the very present. But those things end with death. God had to do something about death. He had to do something about the eternal judgment, because the eternal judgment is just that. It's for the devil and his angels, but people will be subjugated to that eternal judgment if they don't turn and turn to Jesus. I'm telling you, saints, there's no other way. You got to be convinced of that. It's not like we've got to be arrogant or just, you know, berate people in telling them that Jesus is the only way. We just have to know that we know that we know that we know that we know. There is no other way. And we live that way. And for people who believe all other things and something different than what we believe, it's like, Lord, I pray that they will be, the truth will be revealed to them, because they're going to perish. Who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. I give you the message of hope, the message of salvation. God didn't have many sons. He had the only begotten. And that's the one who died for our sins, buried in the grave 3 days. And on that third day came out of that grave to show that death had no power over him. Sin could not keep him there because there was no sin in him. He became sin in the sense that he took the punishment for our sin debt. He says, lay it all on me. When you put your faith in Jesus, you are doing just like that priest would do with that sacrificial lamb, where he would lay hands and transfer the sins of himself as well as the sins of the people on that sacrifice and then offer it up to God. When you say Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, when you say I believe in him, I believe that God raised him from the dead, you are putting your faith on the head of Jesus, transferring your sins, my sins, the sins of the entire world upon him. He's already dealt with it. He dealt with it at the cross. Hallelujah. And now he gives us new life, new freedom, and he heals us of all the hurts. Listen, you may not have been molested when you were a child. And, you know, the thing of it is that it's horrible. It's just downright sinful. I think it was a few years ago where there was an article or something that Pastor Lucia had read about individuals who had been having relations with a baby. How old? 3 months old, 6 months old, something like that. A relationship with a baby. And it was so gross to even think or even to imagine doing something like that. And then looking up, I see that it was early on that they were doing these kinds of things. And to see the sickness and the depravity of sin, this is why Christ came, to deliver us from the power of sin. Sin will drive you to those depths, if you will. Sin will drive a man to have intercourse with a man. It'll drive a woman to have intercourse with a woman and think that it's okay. It's not okay. How do you know it's not okay? It's not the natural course of life. It's not how we are fruitful and go forth and produce. If that was God's intention, he would have started that in the beginning. And just because society lies to us and tells us it's okay, and believe me, if we don't stop the course that government is taking, it will become a common thing for adults to have relationships with children. It will become a common thing. The things that we think now are despicable will become common if we don't stand up and speak the truth. If we don't get righteous men and women in government, things are going to get progressively worse, and what we thought and knew to be an abomination will become common in the culture. It's sick and disgusting. But Christ came. Hallelujah. Christ came for the sin-sick soul. Whether it's the perpetrator, the one who does it, or whether it's the victim, the one who has experienced it. His salvation, his love, grace, and mercy is for all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sin drives the man or the woman to do the things that they do. Sin drives people to that place where they commit the acts. And even those who become victims of it, as Pastor Lucia was sharing with me a little bit last night, of what happens when a person doesn't come to Christ and they try and work this thing out on their own. This is just my interpretation of what she was sharing. They end up doing all sorts of things. They end up being a prostitute. They end up abusing others. This is what you have even in that homosexual agenda. A guy gets violated by another guy. Sooner or later, they go and violate another guy. And they just continue to do this. That's what sin will do. Christ came to deliver us from sin. That man that would have sex with a little baby, Christ came to save that man from his depravity, because that's what sin will do. You go into a liquor store, you buy alcohol and a drink to get drunk. Christ came to deliver you from that. You go to do drugs, Christ came to deliver you from that. Why? You are fearfully and wonderfully made without any additives. What do I mean? We have the sin nature, but Christ came to deal with that. But nevertheless, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I just saw, it's awesome in and of itself. I just saw one of our cousins. Her mother recently died and went on to be with the Lord. And if you saw her, you would see, I don't know if it's MS or exactly what kind of physical disease or whatever, I don't know how to really say it. Her body crippled, but they just celebrated her getting her doctorate degree. Praise God. You know, love just to bring her in just to let you see what God is able to do in and through an individual. He came, he died for her. He died for all of us, that all might be saved. People who don't want to believe in it, don't let that mess up your faith. And don't let that mess up your determination to see others come to the saving knowledge of the truth that is in Christ Jesus. This salvation is serious. So it's for the person that has been abused. You have a husband who abuses his wife. They go to church as a family. They worship God. And you think everything is okay. Then he goes home and beats the mess out of her. These things happen. They happen in church. They happen in the world. Papa goes down to the bar, gets drunk, comes home, beats the kids, and beats the wife. These are real life situations. Christ came to save them from that destruction. That's what sin will do to a person. It doesn't make them right in their abuse. They are guilty as charged. But if they want deliverance, that deliverance comes through Jesus Christ. He died for that person who inflicts the pain as well as the person who experiences the pain. He came to save. I hate to be redundant, but this has got to get across to people, because people have too many hang-ups because of the things that they've been through. When Christ Jesus came out of that grave, he wasn't carrying the weight of the sin of the world any longer, because he already dealt with it. He already dealt with it. When he said, "It is finished," that was it. When he rose from the dead, it's done. The work of salvation is done. All you got to do is just receive. We talked about that Wednesday night. Anyone was blessed Wednesday night? Yeah, this is good teaching. Yeah. If it's on CD or DVD, you ought to get it. Hallelujah. It's a love relationship that God has with his people. It's based on love. Love is the foundation. So with that, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You know, in verse 8 of Psalms 22, it says, "Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." You know, Isaiah spoke it in Isaiah 53. It says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." It satisfied God's righteous requirement so that we can be saved and we can be made whole, whether we're the ones who inflicted the pain or we're the ones who experienced the pain of wrongdoing. Christ died for all, because all need to be saved. Amen? Simple truth, but nevertheless, it must be understood. Father, we thank you. I thank you for each and every person that is here today. We praise you for the drama, the skit that was displayed before your people, that was ministered. We pray that it has exactly what you want in it, to minister to every person that's been taken advantage of. Whether it was family abuse, whether it was ethnic abuse, whether it's the abuser or the one who was abused, your grace and your salvation, your mercy and your love is sufficient to take care of it all. I cover each one under the sound of my voice, even those that may be watching live stream. I pray, Master, that you will use what has gone forth this day to minister to each and every person that you have sent it to apply to. That your word shall not return to you void, but accomplish what you please and prosper in the one that you sent it to today. That everybody goes away healed and made whole. No one holds on to the past. Everyone is free. It matters not what happened. Just bring it to Jesus. You heard in that skit, Sister Tracy did an excellent job at playing the role of the victim. That was the humanity manifesting. And many people are in that place and they cite and fault God. Where were you? He was there. He saw it. It was wrong. And if the person doesn't repent, they will be judged for that act. But if you don't repent and forgive, you also will become just as guilty as the other individual. You might say, how can that be? I did nothing wrong. No, you didn't. You were truly violated. But in coming to Jesus, if you want to be made whole, he teaches us how to be made whole. As surely as he forgives us, he expects us to forgive others. And as we forgive others and release them, then he heals us. He'll say to you like he said to Thomas, Thomas, look at the scars in my hand. Thomas, look at the wound in my hand. Don't be unbelieving. Be believing. Because that's how you get healed and you are made whole. He gives us a new lease on life. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are new and all things are of God. Master, you're wonderful. Your plan is perfect. Your grace is sufficient. Your love is abounding. We worship you and thank you for this day. Command your blessing on each and every one, I pray. Lord our God, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if there's anyone here who has need of prayer, you can meet us here at the altar. If not, we'll be back here at 6 o'clock p.m. Rejoice because God's doing wonderful things. Sister Gabby, we love you. And we pray for you and your family even right now. We lift up the Martinez family. We lift up the entire household. Father, we pray that you'll move in their lives. Bring peace to their hearts, even as they deal with the loss of their loved one. We honor you and thank you for life. Thank you for his life. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Now bring peace to everyone. And may everyone draw closer to you in their walk and relationship. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right, be blessed, everybody. We'll see you here at 6 o'clock. If not, we'll see you Wednesday. If not, we'll see you next Sunday. If not, we'll see you in glory.